first thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good. Why did I get CC'd
on Mom? No.
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.
Everybody, it is your boy, Marcus Johnson. We are back. We got another brand that is working with us that we want you guys to support. So check this out. He's a Raiders fan, the owner as well, Panda Supplements. We got discount code 35% off. Discount code TDL for 35% off. Now, what is Panda Supplements? Panda Supplements is your typical nutritional supplements with a lot of different flavor because everything is natural, right? So you're getting your, you know, you get the proteins, you got the green drinks, you got the pre-workouts, whatever you want, we got that with Panda Supplements. So make sure you check this out. One of my favorite ones, the Sleepy Supplement. This one helps me get some sleep because I don't sleep doing these films. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I do these all night. So I need some help getting to sleep.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I hate my Panda Supplements. One of my other favorite ones right here is the greens, right? The green superfood. Get you some immune boosts, right? You know what I mean? Laser focused, digestive enzymes, you know what I'm saying? Help everything get better down here as well. So, you know, it's a whole lot of things. We got some focus as well. So go ahead, check out the website. Like I said, Panda Supplements, discount code TDL for 35% off. Check it out.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
I like that.
You like that? We are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button if you like it, hit the like button if you don't like it, hit dislike button if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you like it, leave a comment if you don't like it, right? You guys follow us on Twitter too, at TheMarkJohnNFL, at BDWilliams18 for BD. You know what I'm saying? Get the banners going down here, let you guys know where to follow us. And also, as you guys saw, we got a new commercial, shout out Panda Supplements, right? I always talk about the owner is a Raiders fan. So definitely support him as a Raiders fan, part of Raider Nation. Panda Supplements, discount code TDL for 35% off. It's your, you know, like I said on a commercial, it's some really good protein stuff. I tried it myself. The fruity cereal, I recommend. That's some damn good protein. That's some damn good protein drink. And the sleepy stuff does work, man. I push you, it'll knock you out. So if you're having trouble sleeping, the sleepy stuff does work. So check that out, 35% off. But, you know, we're here to talk football, right? We got some draft picks. We're going to go over the, I guess, you know, not too much Dylan Parham today, but, you know, we're going to do some Zamir White for me. I'm going to do more of like a little breakdown, his pros and cons of his game. And BD, what do you got for us today?
I'm going to do a little teaser, Neil Farrell breakdown. Just a few plays. You know, I think it showcases what he's good at, what he excels in. And, you know, for the premium audience, you know, I got something in the pipeline. We're going to do a whole Alabama game. We're going to watch the entire thing. For the premium, for the tape grinders, and for the tape watchers, I'll do a longer, in-depth Neil Farrell breakdown than what I'm doing today. But before we get into that, you know, I'm curious to know what you thought about kind of like your realization with Parham being more of a zone blocker, a guy who's in moves in space, and how that translates to where you think the direction of running the football is going to happen for the Raiders.
You talk about Dylan Parham?
My bad.
Yeah,
Parham.
So Parham, he is interesting to me because, you know, I was watching him and breaking him down, and I had to text Matt Holder. You know, I had to text Matt to kind of get some feedback, like just make sure I'm not crazy what I'm seeing. And, you know, so we had some back and forth talk about it. And the interesting part to me was watching him on tape against Logan Hall, and maybe against other players he might look good. I mean, but I was watching him against a second round NFL draft pick, right, who is, you know, had some legit first round buzz, you know, and he has some really good technique he was going up against, right? So, you know, it's just because Dylan Parham is technically sound as they can be, right? Coming out of the draft, you can't get too much more quality sound,
right?
Technical wise, you know what I'm saying? It's can't get that much better than he can get, right? Coming out, so a lot of it is when he played guard, you know, you just didn't see him getting a lot of movement, like for a gap scheme guy. Like you want him to be able to, you know, yeah, he gets his legs driving and all that stuff, but the guy's not moving that much, you know. You know, why isn't these guys moving? You know, why isn't he pushing them back? You know, he has a great anchor, he's a strong guy, so he's standing right there at the point of attack, right? And he's holding his own, but he's not getting any push, and you know, and he's not winning at the point of attack too. He wasn't winning. Logan Hall was beating him. This is mostly against the run, though. This is mostly against the run because pass pro, Logan Hall had no bit. It was not fair. He was eating Logan Hall up for lunch. But in the run game, you could kind of tell that maybe he might not be a great NFL guard, right? Because of the head up at the point of attack, technique-wise, I mean, he doesn't get off the ball as fast as he could as a guard. You know, he needs to get off the ball faster so he can get that point of attack quicker. So, you know, it's interesting with him. I just don't see him playing left guard. So see him playing. I don't see him being a good guard in the NFL. I mean, he could play guard, I'm sure, but he wouldn't be a good one, right? I mean, he might get there, but I don't see that. I don't see him. That's why he played center at the Senior Bowl. It made sense. So when I watched it, I'm like, oh, but also I don't think he's a gap scheme guy either. I think he's better moving laterally. His athleticism says he moves laterally. He blocks better laterally. He's able to move people. He's able to move people sideways because that way he doesn't have to push you forward, you know, in a gap scheme. So I think those things factors in a lot. But if you're going to run a gap scheme, if you're going to, you know, take that approach, I mean, you probably want to play him as center so he's always getting some help a little bit. He's not getting to, you know? Yeah, getting some help so he can get some push in the gap scheme. But I still think he should play center, in my opinion. I don't think he should play guard.
So when you're watching McDaniel's run game, how often is the center pulling?
Never.
Never. Mm-mm. Really? It's just guards.
Just guards, yeah. Old school power row, bro. You know, old school, you know. Pinpull, power rows. A lot of gap schemes, stuff like that. So,
I mean, yeah. 49ers offense, their center is going to pull, you know. I think it's not uncommon in the NFL, right?
It's not uncommon. I mean, you see it. You just don't see a lot from the Patriots. I mean, even if you look at the playbook, they don't see a lot of center pulling from the center. So that's why I wouldn't expect him to play guard for them, because him coming around that corner, he's not gonna be moving too many guys. I'm gonna keep it real. He's not gonna be on that pin pull. He's not gonna be running people over or doing things like that. He's more of a lateral guy, more of a technical lateral pass protector. Because pass protection, man, he's lights out. Pass protection, lights out, and that's what you like to see. And he's also smart. He picks up stunts really well, and he's an undersized guard, so that's why he's gonna play center in the NFL. So I hope people are ready for that, because I don't think a lot of people have gone to the coat. They're in coat mode, and we don't want to believe it. But the tape says it. I mean, his size says it.
Did you do one of those things where you watch it and then your opinion of the draft pick changes afterwards?
No. My opinion of what they're doing is their vision had changed. You know, I think it's gonna be a very diverse right run game. They're gonna do a whole lot of crap, a whole lot of things, depending on the game who they're playing.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I wrote an article about it. It's probably gonna drop tomorrow. I bet depending on the front they play a front that's like a big front that, you know, is gonna, you know, maul you a little bit, you know, get some pressure, like say like a box or something like that. You know, those big fronts, they're gonna run outside zone and make those guys move laterally, right?
Right.
Then you come play the Chargers. We're going to see more inside zone power runs to make those guys, you know, I don't know. That's kind of how I look at it.
I mean, yeah, I hope so. How often are you seeing teams be successful nowadays in the NFL with just one type of run scheme?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, like, okay, Kubiak days, I think, have come and gone. I think you have to have a diverse run game, honestly.
Yeah, it's and that's what it's going to be. They're going to be diverse, man. They're going to be diverse as hell. And I mean, even show, like, you know, Zamir White in zone schemes isn't that great either, you know? So they're bringing some of these guys who can run some of their schemes, but, you know, T.D. Palomalu's there too. He comes from Clint Kubiak and the Vikings, Gary Kubiak. They're outside zone guys, you know. I mean, they just don't hire an outside zone running back coach for no reason. So that was on purpose.
Yeah.
That was probably because Josh Jacobs is here. And I think they're going to run Josh Jacobs to the ground as much as possible. That's what I think is going to happen this year.
Kennedy Pola.
Huh?
Kennedy Polamalu has the juice. He's got the juice. I'm telling you. I went to USC camp when I was a kid. And he was the running backs coach there for Pete Carroll. And he had so much juice. Just everywhere he was walking around, he was just hollering at people, getting them jacked up, you know. I think he's going to be great for Josh Jacobs. I think he's going to really bring a lot. The guy's been around football his entire life, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watching Parham, see, it was interesting because, yeah, you know, I was like, okay, so he's probably not going to be a good guard in the NFL. He could be an average guard. If let's just say if, you know, guys went down and they needed Parham to play guard, he would be serviceable at guard. He would get the job done. I just think he could be a Pro Bowler center. He's a Pro Bowler. Center, he's a Pro. Yes, that's a Pro Bowl player.
Okay.
Pro Bowl caliber player at center. He's, you know, he is what he is. And, you know, the guard, he's like, yeah, you know. So, right. And that's why I think they're going to play him as, because that's where, I mean, that's why he played there, the Senior Bowl. His potential to be a great player is there. So that's why it's going to be in this situation. But,
all
right. But it's going to be like, it's gonna be like one game.
Andre James, he's getting his spot taken. You feel confident about that?
I'm not going to come on straight up say it. I mean, but yeah.
I'm pushing you too hard here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I was him, I would be like, you know, I need to pick it up. I'm gonna have to show
up. It'd be a good battle. It'd be a good battle.
No, you never know. Maybe they like him at guard. You don't know. We don't know what they're really thinking. I mean, they have Parham listed as a guard, you know, and they got Munford listed as a tackle. Nobody believes he's gonna play tackle, so I don't know. Some people say he's gonna play right tackle. I saw that. He's never played right tackle in his life.
No.
I don't know. You know, people are scared of the offensive line. That's why they want to play all of some of these old guys. they're a little terrified. Dude. But anyways.
Yeah. I mean, for me, just aside, Munford, the battle is he going to beat out Brandon Parker? You know, that's
the battle for swing. You know what I mean? Like,
but
is he a swing tackle?
Yeah. Well, you got Denzel Good. You got Leatherwood. You know, I don't know. I think there's enough guys.
I think Leather was right tackle. I think Leather was going to play right tackle for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing right tackle until he sucks at it.
Right.
He's getting another shot out there, basically. He's going to – I think week one, he's a starting right tackle.
Okay.
So it's just like the battle for guards and stuff like that. And, you know, it's more like those battles, you know, even though, you know, we'll have that conversation. I don't think it's a battle, but we'll have that conversation just to have it, just because I know it's a conversation. So,
right.
But anyways, What else are we talking about today, man? You got any other thoughts on any other defensive players? I mean, there's Trayvon Mullen went to surgery after he saw they didn't draft any corners. He went right to surgery.
I didn't see that.
He got surgery real quick.
You got a shoulder?
Some of his feet.
Foot. Wow. That's interesting timing.
Yeah, I don't like that. Minor surgery.
Maybe he'll be good to go. I don't know, but if it was like upper body, I was thinking, okay, yeah, no problem. That's concerning, probably.
Yeah, because it stays a toe. They're saying, it's you got to think though. I mean, with OTAs and stuff coming up, maybe they told him that he should go get the surgery. I mean, his spot's secure or something. I don't know. It was just interesting that he got surgery like right after the draft.
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe it's something that he aggravated in training. It's not like an old injury. It's possible.
That's true.
The question mark right now is James Bradberry getting cut potentially. Mm-hmm. You know, so if Trayvon Mullen, you know, if his status is up in the air a little bit, that makes signing James Bradberry or giving something up for him, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. More important.
Yeah. Which would be exciting for the Raiders.
I would have a hell of a time doing James Forever breakdown.
Oh, me too, man. I mean, Patrick Graham would have a hell of a time with that is not even us, bro. Patrick Graham would.
Yeah, that would be very fun to watch. It'd be instantly your favorite Raiders corner, Raider Nation. James Bradbury and Silver and Black would be sick. All right, so why don't you jump in? Why don't you go first with Zamir White? Do the offense first.
Okay.
You know, the big ticket guys here. I'm excited to see a little bit more in depth. I know that you guys did some film already on him.
Yeah, a little bit. Just quick run through. All right. Let's bust this bad boy out here. All right, so we start off with Zamir White. I kind of got his pros and cons here. I didn't go too in depth with it, but it's just a little bit what you see here. So pros, he has great patience. That's why he's great in gap schemes, allows blocks to develop. So something he does really well is allow things to develop. You know, we call it finish in the scouting academy or whatever when you call that about scouting. You know what I mean? They call it finish. Whatever, I make it a little bigger here. Call it finish. I call it applying punishment because that's what he likes to do. He likes to apply punishment, which mixed in with his injury history is a little bit of a, you know, you decide if that's how you want your running back to run. But, you know, cons, elusiveness. I don't think he's very elusive. We'll show that a little bit. Consistent vision, which I think goes with zone running. And then, of course, just injury history and lack of pass attempts. But one thing that, you know, we always talk about, who's the blocking guy? Who's the blocker? It's Zamir. Zamir's the blocker. And that's what we're going to show that too. All right. So let's check this out. Let's check out just power runs, right? So we get the typical pull power O type of run right here, right? And this is what you like is his patience to let power blocks develop. So right there, he's able to read it. So you see 50's making that block right there. Where is Zamir White going to do with this football? Right? Let's this block. Let 69 get to him, right? So let's take it back a little bit so you guys can see this. So he knows 69 is going to get there, right? He knows 69 is going to get to that next level. All right, so he's patient. He sets it up. I just like watching his eyes. So you see how he's setting up this linebacker right here? He's setting this guy up. This allows 69 to get to him, and he's able to cut back on the other side. Get skinny, get about 10, 12 yards right there. So, you know, that's the kind of patience that he has when running these gap schemes. So here he is running counter right here. And this one, a little counter run. You see him once again right here. Patience. Then you can see him get skinny here, watch. So he knows this block's coming. He knows 12 is being moved. He sees 15 winning. He's able to get skinny. in between these two, make these guys tackle him, he gets 8 yards. So it's just tough yards, always falling forward. You're going to have to tackle him. You're going to be feeling beat up a little bit at the end of the game. So here he's running duo here, little duo run, duo. You always know it's duo. If they open up to the strong side, A-gap, it is duo. Weak side, A-gap, it is inside zone. So here we go. Duo run opens up. Strong side, A-gap. Strong side, basically tell by the tight ends, right? And this is just a good run, a great duo run. You see the vision, right? Vision and patience. And that's why I say it's consistent vision, because sometimes the vision is great, sometimes it isn't. Right? Good patience right here, and then you're able to keep the head down, falling forward every single time. And always falling forward. And then you just see him here, this is what I talk about, punishment. It's called applying punishment. Boom. Watch this. 47 thinks he's 47. Look like he's got his eyes up. He's got good form. He's getting low. He thinks he's going to get a tackle here. Nope. Bounce off him. That dude bounces off him basically too. Mario Goodrich hangs on for life. Makes a tackle. And then, you can get him outside too. This is where you see more of his speed. Because you don't see it all the time. I mean, it doesn't look like a 4-4, but you always like how he can get inside and get yardage, because I still think he could have bounced this one a little bit and took this right out to the end zone, right? And this is what I talk about, inconsistent vision, right? So outside, I mean, if he just takes this, he got Bowers. He could take this right outside, but he wants to just get a first down, which is a smart decision, right? And you just get the first down. 3rd and 3, get the first down. Short yardage, nothing wrong with that. You want to see him take that to the house, right? He's got 4-4 speed. See here, we showed this front on the live stream, but you see that the patience that he has on this toss, right? And, this is why he specializes in the gap runs, right? Doesn't really speed into this really quickly, allows the blocks to develop, and then he's able to move and make his move afterwards, and he's able to break tackles in open field. Boom. Get some good yards. So that's Zamir White, basically. I mean, that's probably the best runs you're going to see him run. You see him do a lot of the pin pulls. See him do a lot of gap scheme stuff in this offense. So here he is. Pass protection is what I really like for him. So you got a blitzer here, right? Full-on blitz. They're bringing what? Looks like 5. Got 5 coming. He's got to pick up. This is his man, Zamir White. Watch. Boom. All right, straight up contact. Take on that linebacker. Then hold it down, right? Linebacker doesn't even move you. What a great, that's a wrap. So there's your pass blocker, guys, right there. Well, everybody's looking for him. There he is.
Great rep.
That's a great rep, right? Here he is again. This is another one. Like, pass protection is interesting that he's not the third down back for this team. I mean, this just shows how good James Cook is, because this dude can block, right? Here's another one. Just putting his whole body into him. Enough time. Picking up that open man out there. Here he is. They do a little play-action bootleg type of thing, right? Get out front of your quarterback, right? Help your quarterback out. Look at open that lane for him, right? You can block, man. I'm telling you. You can block. You can chip, too. This is a big chip right here on Aiden Hutchinson. Right? Give him a nice little chip. They love the chip. In McDaniel's offense, something that they love for the running backs to do. It. Like I said, here he is taking on David Ojobo, one-on-one. Fully engaged, right? Look at that nice block right there, man. Maybe he's the right tackle that we need. All right. So let's talk about inside zone, though, And this is what I'm talking about. He's a straight-up gap runner. So we got inside zone, weak side, A-gap. Remember that? Strong side, A-gap. Duo, weak side, A-gap. Inside zone. Best way to remember it, right? So you're talking about reading this. There's two-way goes. I mean, this isn't the most blocked-up play, right? But, I mean, you still want him to be a little more patient. You see 58, you see 90. I mean, zone plays, you can bounce them. It's not power, right? And he has the speed. There's nobody here. He could take this outside. He has a 4-4 speed, guys. right? You want him to be a little more patient and read this. I know 98's coming right there. I don't think he would have blew that up in time, but, you know, he just puts his head down and gets 2 yards. And, you know, you could maybe, like, Marcus, why are you talking about bouncing? I'm just saying, you know, you just gotta read this. I mean, you know, he's looking straight ahead on his inside zone. And inside zone, is there is a three-way go, right? So you have to – there is a bounce portion of this, right? And I think he should have took that, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, BD. You let me know. I don't know on that. But here we go. More inside zone. JTL Daniels telling the team he's going to lose his job. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my job. Here we go. Inside zone, right? And this one gets blown up real quick, right? But instead of just bouncing this one too, like right here, just bounce it. Because I know 33's coming. He's not going to have time to just kind of take an angle. He's got to use that 4-4 speed and get outside here, right? One more time, but he tries to make a move. Then he runs right into his lineman, and it's only 2 yards instead. Take on Mario Goodrich. You know what I mean? Mario Goodrich is out here. This is what you want to take on. And you got to read this quicker, right? This is zone. Zone is a little bit more about reading than just like, hey, just let my guy let a block and let me just play running back, which he's great at. He's a good natural running back. But running the zone schemes is a little different. You got to do a lot more reading and seeing, you know, kind of seeing things a little bit more before they happen, I guess. Let me just kind of explain, right? More inside zone here. As you can see on this one, you know, you see he kind of has a hole here. 90's moving there, but I still think you got to get a jump cut here and hit this hole, right? Jump cut, hit this hole there instead of kind of taking this back outside, in my opinion, right? And you take it back outside, and then you got one-on-one here with, you know, this linebacker, and you can't get past him because you don't have the elusiveness, right? So I think he does have a good role, right, in this offense, in my opinion. But, you know, just running the zone type of schemes, this is another one. Like, he's just got to put his speed, put his pad down, and take on Goodrich instead of trying to take on this linebacker here. You know, you'd rather have your chance with Goodrich. I know Goodrich, he's bold. You know, he wants to come up in here and make a tackle, but let's see if he can. I guess that's what you want to do with corners.
Right.
Yeah, that's Amir White. You know? So.
It's interesting. Interesting seeing a guy we know he's got wheels, right? Just be so hesitant to bounce. That's strange. Usually those guys bounce way too much, you know?
Yeah, right? Right? It's interesting.
Right. It's interesting.
Does he look like he runs a 4-4 when you're watching that?
No.
Did you see 4-4? See, that was my thing. Like, I don't see 4-4 on it.
He's 4-4 down the field.
You'll downhill, see right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If he gets like a hole, he gets a hole, like, and he could just hit it, yeah, you'll see the straight on speed, right? Just see, right? You could probably, right. I mean, and the way McDaniel schemed it up, you know, Damien Harris isn't that fast. Damien Harris had 12 runs over 20 yards or something like that last year.
Right.
So it depends on how they scheme it up. He's still a good power back. If they can get some good pulling, you know, runs, you know, get some of those dudes on the move, you know, get Leatherwood and those type of guys outside. Yeah, man, he'll do well there. That's the type of guy, if he comes in the game, you don't want to get cute with the inside zones and stuff like that. You would do duo, power O, pin pull, those type of things, toss sweeps, get him where he's comfortable, where he's able just to play running back, where he doesn't have to, you know, be, you know, a zone back. He could just give me the ball, power football, I can read it, be patient, hit holes, play up behind my pads, get ugly yards, get ugly short yardage yards, you know what I mean? I think that's something he's going to do really well, too. He's going to be able to get, because, you know, you saw how he can get skinny in holes, right? And that's, you know, that's running back talent, bro. Getting skinny in a hole like that, being able to read, he has natural running back talent. Is that, you know, it's more about the inside zone stuff. But, you know, the most exciting part of his tape to me was pass protection, because, you know, we're all wondering who's going to be that guy. And that's why I think he's going to have a little head of, you know, I wonder if Brandon Bolden's really going to make this team or he's just a language teacher, you know. You know, look at some of his roster because, you know, just I thought it was interesting too. Trey Regis is 5'11", 214. Do you know that?
Yeah. There you go.
Interesting.
It's
interesting.
Going back to
go ahead.
Going back to when we were talking about how we don't see the 4-4 until he's got like a wide open lane. That reminds me a lot of Kenyon Drake. You know, Kenyon Drake isn't a guy like in the first 15 yards, you're not seeing all this incredible burst. But each year he's got like top 10 fastest, you know, clock speed or whatever on the longest touchdown, you know, something like that. Next gen stats, they always say top 10 fastest ball carrier, Kenyon Drake. So he's a guy who builds speed up. And I think that Zamir White's a lot like that too. But unlike Kenyon Drake, Zamir White's going to also punish the defense like Josh Jacobs will. So when you have, and I always said before, I think the complementary back to Josh Jacobs is a home run hitter because Josh Jacobs doesn't have a lot of speed. So if you get a home run hitter who also is going to punish defenses as well, you don't, and now the defense can't really take that like, oh, they got their little scat back in, you know, whatever. Like we don't have to like really bring it when we're tackling this guy. We could try to drag him down or something like that. You're not going to drag down Zamir White. You got to tackle him, you know? So having two running backs like that that keep defenses honest, I think that's a big part of the appeal. And so now I'm really looking at it and I'm thinking maybe Kenyon Drake doesn't have a role on this team, honestly. Gone.
They're language teachers. I was looking at their ages, man. Oh, look at you guys. You're language teachers, aren't you? Teaching the language. That's their job. I mean, that's why I feel like that's why Bolden's there. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he's only played in one system his whole career. So I know that's why he's there.
Yeah.
But it's that's what my thing with White I thought was interesting is that, man, I didn't see that speed, but like, you wonder, you have a good point, like if they can get him in the open field though, and maybe some of those pin pulls where he reads them really well, he can just put his speed on and, you know, coaching, you know, Kenny Polamalu will be able to talk to him and, you know, get to him a little bit, talk about how he needs to use his speed more. You know, that's coaching, I think, kind of teaching him when to use his speed, when not to use his speed, and kind of taking that type of mentality with it. But
right. It's yeah, I mean, there's a lot to work with there. You know, if you get some of these things figured out, this potential really, really good back in the NFL. Got a lot to work with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he still has a lot of long runs. I mean, in the games I've shown, didn't see as many, but I mean, he has some against some other teams. I want to get into his Alabama game. That's one of his really good games too. He's breaking a lot of tackles, but yeah, he's gonna wear on some teams. I mean, let's say that. He's perfect 4-minute drill running backs they got now. Josh Jacobs and Zamir White are perfect 4-minute drill running backs. Them dudes ain't gonna want to tackle them too late.
Right. And they'll pass protect.
And a pass protect. Which another thing I think is interesting because we never seen him catch the ball or run a route. So I mean, we don't know.
Josh McDaniels doesn't care. He's not even gonna ask him to do that.
But right? Can he catch? Maybe he can. And they just had James Cook.
Right.
Because if you could pass protect like that, bro, I mean, you got to play on third down a lot. And that's what I'm talking about doing 21 personnel and they're having Josh Jacobs and him on the field at the same time. So they want to throw on first down. They put them back there together. And then, you know, you can run routes with Josh Jacobs. And then you have Zamir White staying in block or chip block or whatever. Because, yeah, I think that's the biggest factor. Because now that I watched that, I'm like, okay. Because that's, yeah, I did like him over Spiller, but now that I watch more of the pass blocking, I'm like, okay, that makes more sense. Spiller can't pass block like that.
Right. There you go. There you go.
And it's the committee thing. They love committee backs. They got something with the committee backs because Brown's from a committee too. He's an interesting back too. He's an interesting back to watch. He's got more wiggle than speed. And he's got good vision. So.
Brandon Brown,
he's gonna be the Mike Gallupi of this team. I think he's gonna be the goal line guy who just ruins Josh Jacobs' fantasy team for everybody. Josh Jacobs gonna get the here comes Britton Brown, 5 yard line touchdown.
Jacobs will have 90 yards. Samir White will have like 45.
Yeah,
Britton will have like 3 yards and 2 touchdowns.
two touchdowns. I'll take it. I ain't complaining.
Yeah, I'll take that. I do not care.
I'm sure he will too, man. I'm sure he will. Jordan Howard's been, that's Jordan Howard's role in the NFL right now. Don't Jordan Howard, he's a goal line back.
Right.
He's embraced it. So, but yeah, I mean, that's Samir White. I mean, I don't know too much of it. I think the most exciting part is the pass. I mean, of course, it's running. We all know that. But the pass protection, I mean, that's something we've been looking for. Like, who's going to be that guy? And there it is. There he is. Right there.
For sure. All right, we can switch gears here. I'll jump over and do my Neil Farrow breakdown. You know, I think we talked about it. The Raiders need it to kind of shore up the interior defensive line. We're good at edge. Crosby, Chandler Jones, one of the best edge combos in the NFL right now. Obviously, you got Bosa and Mack in the same division. You got whoever's next to Garrett, honestly, that's pretty up there. But Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, that's got to be one of the best duos in the NFL. But who's playing inside? You know, Jonathan Hankins did have one good year pass rushing the passer, you know, but we know what Jonathan Hankins is. He's here to stop the run. But I think there's a guy in Neil Farrell who's like really a young Jonathan Hankins. I think he's going to have a lot more juice than people anticipate being a 6'4", 330-pound guy. What do we think? 6'4", 330, they're just there to plug lanes. Neil Farrell does more than that. He really gets penetration. It's crazy to see. So, I mean, I'm over the moon with this pick. I think this is a slam dunk here.
I was doing fist pumps in my living room.
Yeah.
You
and Matt said really good things about him. And then when I saw him, I was like, jar at the floor, like, dang, this guy's really still available here. But again, he's an old prospect, so that, you know what that means? He's gonna start early. Use him while you can, while he's still in his prime. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's gonna get plenty of he's gonna get plenty of time, honestly. He's probably gonna get the most snaps this year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Before you get into it, that's what I was thinking. That he's gonna get the most snaps. And I'm not gonna rule out that he doesn't start day one. I'm not gonna rule it out. Yeah.
But in the interior defensive line, it's not even about starting. It's just about, you know, who's getting that burn, who's getting in the game, and who's making the impact when they are in the game. You know, because, I mean, a lot of those games, Darius Filon didn't necessarily start, you know, but he was the most impactful interior defensive lineman. So, you know, we'll see there. But, yeah, I agree. He definitely needs to be up there, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to jump into it here. We'll break down Neil Farrell. Let's do it. So
let's do it.
This is just gonna be a little teaser. There's just a couple of plays here that I want to talk to you guys about. He's lining up at one technique outside shade of the center. Okay. Nose guard position. 6'4", 330 pounds. Okay, you see him get off here. Now they're doing something on the offensive line where they're just gonna cut, everyone's gonna cut block. And the ball's going to come out quick on like a little screen or a shovel pass or something like that. Okay. Bam. Bubble screen. Okay. Check this out. Check out the other defensive tackle. The guard cuts blocks him, sends him to the ground. Okay. Check out Neil Farrell. The center and the guard cut block him. They got both. He's got two sets of shoulder pads. Probably each of these guys weighs 300 pounds. Driving into his knees. Does Neil Farrell even touch the ground? No, he's standing on top of him like, that's the best y'all got? Two of y'all couldn't take me down. That's Neil Farrell, okay? He's a beast. He is a beast. He is a grown man. He's ready already to play in the NFL from a physicality standpoint, okay? He's a monster. Now, again, we are in the A-gap this time in a two-eye technique, okay? Oh, beautiful play here. He's reading the guard. When the guard pulls, what does he do? He gets his eyes in the backfield. He tries to get around, okay? His pad level is too high, and I'm going to talk a lot more about that when I get in depth. That's really the one area of his game he really needs to improve on. His pad level is too high. But even with bad pad level, look what he does. He locates the running back, locks out, pushes that center back, disengages, gets in on the tackle. He's just – it's child's play. Bad technique. I'm up way too high. I'm standing straight up, but I can still lock you out with bad technique. This guy's a monster, man. When he gets his technique worked out, like, we're talking about Akeem Hicks type of player on the interior. Here's another one. This is just really awe-inspiring. Okay, he's lined up. Again, he's a one technique, it looks like. Okay, he's inside. He's in between the guard and the center. Now, look what he does. Good technique. Forklifts this guy, throws the guard, tosses him to the ground, gets in on that tackle. Just ragdolling these guys. Like, Pac-12, do not even try to block this guy. And then, check it out. Okay. When he gets that pad level, you see the burst. You see the get-off. Look, watch the get-off. Who's the first one out of their stance here? No fair. At 330 pounds, first one out of his stance, just drives through two Alabama guards, bubbles this, and then body slams the running back on top of that. And, I mean, this time he's tackling, like, four guys.
UCLA game was crazy, bro.
They all were. Every single one. Look how quick he can get into the backfield. And I really think that there is going to be some pass rush here from him. I'm not saying that he's going to be a 5-sack guy. I think he'll probably be a 3.5-4-sack guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pushing the
but
pocket.
I think that there's going to be a lot of pressures. Look how quick he's out of his stance. He's the first guy out of his stance on the defensive line. He just gets back here so quickly, just ruins this play. Just phenomenal, really phenomenal guy. But and we see yeah. Again, my point. Okay, I'm not going to say he's ready to finish and be a 5 or more sack a year guy just yet. But we see the lateral agility, okay, the ability to work that corner, work that edge. He's got to be disciplined, stay in his rush lanes, push this guy into Max Crosby or Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones, they're going to love this guy. He's going to create a habit. Okay. Perfect compliment. He can stop the run. This is really good tape. It's really good tape. He should not have been there in the fourth.
It was his age and that terrible combine. He had a terrible, terrible combine, right? So he has a terrible athletic profile.
Okay.
That's really a lot of it was that. Because if he had a profile like Travis Jones, oh man, he's probably first round.
If he was running crazy fast 40s and all that stuff, yeah. But I mean, look, we saw what we had to see. You don't got to be a freak athlete. You got to be a freak of nature from a strength perspective, and he is that right now. Like, again, bad leverage. He's up higher than these guys. They're underneath him. They got good leverage. What did their coaches say? Hey, you're underneath his helmet. You're going to control him. And even in those positions where he's in a bad body position, he's still just locking out on SEC guards and centers, tossing them to the side. Just like the amount of times he tossed guys to the side like they were kids. Incredible. So, yeah, I mean, he's ready to go right now. Play him early. Play him often. And I think he's going to be a big help for this defense on the inside.
Yeah, man. I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic, man, because I watched that UCLA game on tape, and I was like, oh, my God. And I don't even think I was watching him. I think I was watching somebody else.
Who is this guy? Yeah, that's definitely a guy.
Who is that?
Tackling three people. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. All right, how many snaps did Neil Farrell Jr. average? It's a good question. So I'm looking at this. It looks like around 37 to 43. His top was 52. Against Florida.
What were the percentages there though?
Of the snaps? I don't know. I don't know their total snaps.
It doesn't say.
No, it doesn't say. I'm just looking at PFF. I'd have to go like to LSU's like team page.
No, but
I mean, he's playing a lot. College football is a lot more snaps. He's probably playing like 50%, right? They're playing like 90. That's still a lot of snaps, bro.
In the SEC, I don't know. They run the ball so much in the SEC. If it's a bit, yeah, I mean, Big 12, yeah, they're going to play 75, 80 snaps a game, you know, but I don't think that they're going to do that necessarily in the SEC every time. But I would say, yeah, that's around 50% of the snaps for sure. You know, the interior guys right now are all around there, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, look, maybe if you look at Darius Filon, he got hurt. You know, Jonathan Hankins, he's at the end of his rope here. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take the majority of the snaps? It's going to be the young guy.
So. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Alabama.
I'm excited.
Sorry, man. Alabama game, he had 5 pressures.
Yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah, as I'm saying, he had 24 pressures, bro, on the season. So it's not like he was, like, not able to rush the passer. That's why I thought it was interesting that he was there that late too, you know, because just how well that he did rush the passer. And
I think he had a lot of opportunities where a lot of moments where he's bearing down on the running, on the quarterback, and the quarterback like makes him miss, but then has to like throw the ball away or something like that. So it is a positive play for the defense. There's no counting stat for that. You know, no one can like look mm-hmm. that up and find out how many times he did that, you know, but he does that quite a bit. And I think that he does have to like start working towards like, okay, and when I win, I can't just run straight at the quarterback. I have to like work in tandem with one of these ends here, right? And now corral the, you know, these guys like Russell Wilson and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes who will run around on you, right? So he's got to be a little bit more disciplined there. And again, he's not going to be the one that gets all the sacks, obviously, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's going to be enough of a presence in terms of his ability to penetrate, which I was shocked to see. And just like his overall size, he can get his hands up in the passing lanes as well. So he's going to be disruptive inside there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I'm excited to see that from a pass rush perspective. But then also, what does Patrick Graham want to do in terms of the way he wants to stop the run? And I was under the impression that he was going to continue to stop the run the way that he has been, with a lot of two-gapping, gap and a halfing, rather. Guys are building a wall on the defensive line. But seeing this guy, Neil Farrell, seeing how he penetrates, seeing how Matthew Butler, the Tennessee defensive lineman, how he penetrates as well. Now, I don't know. Maybe he saw the way Denzel Perryman did it last year and was like, okay, I'll give you that again. No problem. We'll get some penetrating defensive lines, defensive linemen out, so Denzel Perryman could do his thing. So I'm actually a lot more encouraged. Like, I did one of those things where I was like, yes, I'm happy. Neil Farrell, I've heard good things. Looking at the direction that they're going on the interior defensive line, I'm more encouraged about how this defense is going to play. So it is stacking the chips up for me.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because, you know, Patrick Graham, he probably has some kind of vision for his defensive line that he really wants to do. And my thing is, I still think they're going to play a lot of cover three. I mean, they're going to disguise it, right? And make it not look like cover three, and then whatever. But I still think they're going to try to keep some of those principles to kind of keep the fundamentals with this, how this team's look. I don't think he's going to try to come in here and change it. I mean, that's why they brought the cover three cornerback coach. I mean, these guys aren't stupid. That's one thing we're learning, right? So these aren't stupid. It's like, I have Josh Jacobs. I'm not going to force him into power scheme. I know he's not good there. Let me bring in some guys who can make this game diverse, and we could bring in some guys who want to do I could do what I do, but I also have a good running back here. I can, you know, make it work. I got a team that, you know, they were young and they played a lot of cover three. They know what, you know, they know that those fundamentals, they know that system. They're pretty damn sound at it. I mean, at the end of the year, a lot of guys weren't making mistakes. You know, even Divine Diablo wasn't making as many mistakes in coverage as he was early in the season. So you kind of saw that growth from that. But, you know, because Graham played cover three too, you know, they just disguise it. You know, it's not like they might start too high, they might start something else, but I still think they're gonna run more cover three. It's just not gonna be labeled cover three by SIS, that's all, and PFF. So they're not gonna make any jokes.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. because the way that Graham is gonna play it, okay, it's gonna take me a while before I'm realizing, oh, okay, this is how they're doing things now. So the SIS guys, they're just like glancing at it and just like writing anything down. I do not trust these guys when they're charting. A different guy charts every time for PFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you have to get to know a defense. So they're going to be wrong regardless. Okay. It's not going to be as easy to do as Gus Bradley's scheme. But yeah. So real quick, we got some questions in here.
Okay.
So Leon, he says, so Farrell was on your guys' radar going in. Yes. Yes. Where were you, Leon? We did multiple shows before the draft. We talked about him every time, it seems like.
Yeah, he's on a draft board, man. Oh, the draft.
He's on a draft board. He's on a draft board.
That's a hit. That's a TDL hit.
Why did most analysts give him a B- grade? Looks like an A- to me. A-. Whoa. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
I gave him an A. I gave him an A in my draft grades. I mean, because I was ecstatic. I was done. I was ready. I was ready. The draft is over. Yeah. Let's go home, guys. The draft was done. We got what we needed in the fourth round. That's the type of player you want. Because, you know, I want him at 86.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I thought he wouldn't go that much further. And I think that's why the Raiders traded up. Because they're probably like, Farrell's key. We right. can't let him go.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Had to trade up.
Completely agree with you on that. May only get 3 sacks, but the QBs can't step up and away from 55 and 98. Exactly. I just want to clarify this one. Riley says, if healthy, Hankins sticks around. I agree. I'm not saying Hankins is gone. He's definitely going to be there this year to mentor Neil Farrell. They got so much in common. You know, he's just like a young, Jonathan Hankins. So keep Jonathan Hankins around. Not saying Jonathan Hankins is gone. No, he's still going to be here. Yeah. All right. So.
I guess, you know, talk about Britton Brown a little bit. I kind of touched on him. I'm going to do a breakdown on Britton Brown, probably individually, because I think that he's going to make this football team. And I think he's good enough to make a football team. And I think he just had a really bad combine, but I think he has a really good vision. He's actually a pretty good running back, actually, from like a pure runner aspect, we're talking about running backs, a lot of difference to him, but he's a good pure runner, good vision, very patient dude, less block setup. He comes from a gap scheme, though, so he's not a gap scheme guy. He's just, the long speed is just not there. It's not there. I mean, the LSU game, BD probably didn't notice it, but there's some big holes open up. And then here comes Brown hitting it. He finds it. He uses his patience, uses a jump cut, hits it. He's going through it. And all of a sudden, it just closes. Because those LSU boys, they all run 4.5s too. So, right. And just, it's true. It's, but Hawaii, he's taking it, you know. Maybe Hawaii, right. Stanford, he's taking it to those. You know, Derek Singletary, they're catching him. So I think that was kind of, because I even tweeted, I was like 4.69. That doesn't make any sense against Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii. He's running past Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I put on LSU. I was like, oh. But he still hit the right hole. He still got, he still hit the right hole, still hit the, what he needed to do. He has good vision. I think he's a good back. I think he's just effective. You know, he has no long speed, but he's a touchdown machine. That's all UCLA did. They get to the 3 and they give him the ball. He scored.
Right.
Touchdown machine.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the idea of a short yardage guy. Why not? Let's kick the tires.
Raiders, that's what I'm saying. These guys aren't stupid. They're like, how, they probably can't hear, man. We suck at short yardage. Maybe we should get some short yardage back.
Let's get some short yardage back, then. Let's do it. We had one in here. Thoughts on Matthew Butler. Stay tuned. Matthew Butler is the next episode of TDO. So I'll be breaking him down. That's only a defensive guy. So obviously, I'm going to do him. And then also, yeah, I can talk briefly about Polamalu here. He's going to definitely be one of the guys that I look at from the UDFA signings. We're going to do some UDFAs, right?
We have to, man, because we don't got
to. We have to. Right, yeah, we have to. Okay.
Yeah,
we're gonna dive deep. Don't worry on TDL. So I'll talk about Isaiah Pulumau just real quick. You know,
okay,
he's a really big safety. I think he does some really good stuff coming downhill. I don't know if there's necessarily an NFL role for him. I think he would have to be kind of used, kind of like, you know, how Jayron Kearse was used for the Cowboys, like a sub package weapon kind of guy. You know, I just don't know if he's like as strong and as fast, you know, to be able to pull that off in the NFL. But we'll see. He's got some interesting tape for sure. I think there's definitely something to work with. At the very least, on special teams, he should be a demon. So, I like him coming forward. I like him tackling, but we'll see if he can improve in other areas to be like an actual player on defense.
Van Valkenburg out of Iowa. I'm not familiar with him. I can't.
I have not popped the tape in on Van Valkenburg, but it's Iowa, so we're gonna have tape.
Is he a linebacker?
Get around to him. I don't know if he's an edge or a linebacker. I don't know which one. The guy I did watch, though, already is Tagovailoa-Amosa, right?
Okay.
And, you know, my mama always said, you know, don't say negative things about people, so I won't be breaking him down for the channel.
Trey Turner tape. yeah, so I'm going to do Trey Turner, because Trey Turner is actually somebody I did like a Senior Bowl. And I think one of our listeners, my man Alex Fitzgerald, he informed me of that. He's like, where did I hear about Trey Turner? I think it was our Senior Bowl episodes, because I think he had some pretty decent.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm surprised he didn't get drafted. Like Tyquan Thornton over Trey Turner? Interesting. And one thing why, BD, why we should watch undrafted free agents, because the Patriots have like kept it's like a record.
A lot, yeah.
They don't, it doesn't matter who comes, you know what I'm saying? That's why I was talking about Trey Regis, right? I'm sleeping on Trey. Trey has the size that he likes. Yeah. Trey comes in there, he starts blocking, starts catching footballs, has a good camp, has a good preseason. This isn't a team where they watch a guy have an awesome preseason and they still cut him. This isn't that type of team. You come out there, you have an awesome preseason, you're going to make the Raiders. So that's the cool thing about undrafted free agents with this type of regime or this type of coaching staff. Is that it doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you come out there and you ball, that's why I keep mentioning, Trey, he had a good preseason last year. He blocked. He showed he could block. He showed he can catch. He showed he can run the football a little bit. He's got the size. I just think that's somebody that we can't sleep on making this team. And then you end up seeing Kenyon Drake get traded, and then Trey Regis made the team because he could do everything that Kenyon Drake can do. But he's undrafted. He's cheaper. he's like $500,000.
You have a lot more to lose here, you know.
He's like 500K, and he's like 25. So you got to use him up now. I mean, use that talent. And that's just a good. I was looking at the running backs today because I was writing the article, and then it just popped in my head. I was like, oh my god, wow, he's the exact size too, and he's still here. And he's on the roster. It's not like, I guess it's 90-man roster, but hey, he's got a shot, man. I mean, everybody's got a shot. That's basically my point.
Everybody's got a shot.
Everybody has a shot. That's why I saw the guy from England, who went to Utah. They picked him up. He's got a shot too. I'm telling you, every single player has a shot. It's not like the John Gruden regime where they already picked their team in May, which some NFL teams do.
Right. They're really gonna let it play out. I agree.
And I think this could be dope. And that's how you should be, man. If you got 100%. a good undrafted player that's coming there, he balls out. I mean, he might be JC Jackson.
JC Jackson got in trouble though. He would have been a first round.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
Teams don't take undrafted guys. They just watch him ball out. They watch him ball out, and they go, oh, nice. And then watch Kenny Moore play good in the Colts. Because you know damn well Kenny Moore probably played like that, whatever the first team he played with. You know damn well he did. You know he did.
Yeah,
so,
I agree. That's my point. All right. That's it. That's it from us, Raider Nation. We're out of here. Gave you guys a good long hour-long episode on the Raiders' fourth round picks. Zamir White, Neil Farrell, big time players, you know, from the SEC. So gotta love that. You get those guys in the fourth round. I think those guys are really going to be, honestly, major contributors for this Raiders team and, you know, contribute to their success going forward. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, myself at BWilliams18, Marcus at the Mark John NFL. And make sure you hit the subscribe button, turn on post notifications, keep your eye out. We're going to be delivering exclusive content to all the premium members out there. That's it, Raiders. I'll let you.
See ya.